Many experts agree that the most recent Middle East peace plan, called the Roadmap, contains most of the elements necessary to bring an end to the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. The Palestinians are to stop attacks on Israelis and reform their political institutions. Israel is to withdraw from the occupied territories, freeze Jewish settlements, and normalize conditions for Palestinian civilians. But the plan does not spell out how these measures are to be implemented. NPR's Mike Schuster has the second of two reports on the roadmap to peace.
The goal of the roadmap is the establishment of a Palestinian state in 2005. Phase 1 envisions a quick truce. Phase 2 would establish a Palestinian state with provisional borders by the end of this year. It would take another 2 years to complete the third phase, two states living in peace side by side. But how should the process start? The roadmap seems to hold out the hope that both sides will simply do what the plan says they should. That won't work, says Robert Malley, a former National Security Council expert on the Middle East.
If one views it as a menu of steps that the two sides have to take, it's a recipe for paralysis and for endless bargaining and bickering over dates, over definitions, over enforcement, over compliance.
The Palestinians say the roadmap as a whole makes sense, but Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon has said he wants to change it. He wants the Palestinians to end the violence before Israel responds. He wants them to forego from the outset the right of refugees to return to Israel, and he wants the U.S. to be the sole international arbiter. Shibli Telhami, a professor of Middle East history at the University of Maryland, says the two sides need help to sort these issues through.
Palestinians and Israelis cannot do it on their own, and not in this environment, not given the loss of trust, not given the minimal goodwill that exists, not given the disagreements that are remaining every step of the way. So even phase one cannot succeed without significant international mediation and certainly mostly American mediation.
Secretary of State Powell cautiously stepped back into Middle Eastern diplomacy when he met with both Sharon and the new Palestinian Prime Minister Abu Mazen. Little of substance emerged from Powell's trip. Former Assistant Secretary of State Martin Indyk says the administration needs to be much more engaged if the roadmap is to stand any chance of success.
If you look back at what the president said when he promulgated the roadmap, he said it's a starting point, it's a guide. And in essence, the administration has been building a bypass around the roadmap, taking its critical elements as the basis for U.S. diplomacy, but not insisting on all of the elements being implemented.
Indyk believes Powell should have brought Sharon and Abu Mazen together and stayed with them for more talks. But other experts say only President Bush himself can make the diplomacy work. That's the view of William Quant, author of A History of U.S. Presidential Involvement in the Middle East Peace Process going back to the 1960s.
Whether President Bush knows it or not, this is not part of his foreign policy that he's going to be able to delegate to anybody else if he wants it to succeed.
Last week at the White House, President Bush suggested he will get engaged personally when he was asked to respond to the selection of Abu Mazen as the new Palestinian prime minister.
Abu Mazen has publicly declared that he will fight terror. He understands that in order for the Palestinian life to improve, terror must be battled. And he's a man I can work with.
But so far, the White House has not scheduled a meeting between the president and Abu Mazen. William Quant says the president will have to broaden his focus beyond that of Palestinian violence if the process is to start for real.
Thus far, the fact that it has been launched the way it has without very much involvement by him, he hasn't gone very much out of his way to fill in any of the blanks, makes me really wonder whether he wants to get deeply involved in a problem that he has systematically chosen to distance himself from for the past 2.5 years.
There is one other factor worth noting here. That is the effect of the U.S. war in Iraq. With 150,000 U.S. troops in Iraq and the Saddam Hussein government gone, the strategic context in the Middle East has changed, says Martin Indyk.
The balance of power between Israel and the Arabs has shifted dramatically in Israel's favor because the Iraqi army has evaporated, and with it, the potential for an Eastern Front coalition that would threaten Israel. The fundamental reason for Israel holding on to the West Bank, which was to protect itself against such an Eastern Front coalition, doesn't exist for the foreseeable future.
Of course, Israeli settlers want to keep the West Bank because they believe it is part of Israel. Nevertheless, once the implications of the shifting strategic context sink in on both sides, each may seize on the roadmap more energetically to move toward a settlement. Still, few experts believe the two sides can do that without help from the United States, and there is actually not much time to move the process forward, given that historically, U.S. presidents have had little interest in the Middle East peace process during presidential election years. Mike Schuster, NPR News, Los Angeles.